Welcome to the Venus Index podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me is Michelle Hahn, and she came in first place in the most recent Venus Transformation Contest, VT9. So go over to venusindex.com and check out her pictures if you're listening on iTunes. So let's get into, I don't know where to start. What did you think of your pictures when you saw them?
I originally, when we first took the photos, the photographer showed me like some of them as she was taking them. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of disappointed at first because I was like, oh no, this looks good or whatever. But she kind of played with the lighting a little bit and kind of took some different angles. And so I was pleased with them in the end.
You mean she was literally showing you the camera as she was taking them?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, like because she was doing a digital. Yeah, okay, I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And then it was interesting because when I met with her for my other photos that I took that day, she was like telling me that usually it takes her a lot longer to get the pictures back to people and stuff, but she was like, I didn't touch anything up, so, you know, it didn't take very long. The turnover was really quick, and she said, so just so you know, I usually do a lot of touching up. You actually look like that. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, she was trying to compliment me. She was like, you actually look that good. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, wow.
That's funny because, like, that's something that you need a photographer to sort of really explain to you. Like no, I uh-huh. really have to do this, like, a lot of work for most people.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Can you talk a little bit about your other photo shoot that we talked about off air? You don't have to explain details,
sure.
But just the concept of what you were saying to me about how it's a motivating factor.
Definitely.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was at a bridal show here in Indiana with my, I'm the maid of honor for my best friend's wedding. And we met this photographer, and she was not only advertising her wedding photos, but also a boudoir photo session, which is basically a lingerie session. Mm-hmm. And so we both were looking at it. My friend was mainly looking at it because her husband, or soon-to-be-husband, is in the military, and she wanted to do something special for him for the wedding. And I was kind of looking at it as a motivator to lose the weight and just kind of get to where I've always wanted to look. So mm-hmm. we took her information, and I ended up, that was back in January of last year. And then eventually, after I finished school, I was in school. And so it took me a little while to get to where I needed to be to actually set goals and make it happen. So when this contest came up, I had just finished school and for my master's degree. And I was like, you know, I really want to do this. So I actually was looking all over the Venus website and came across Liz Graham, and she was, I think that's, is that, am I saying her right name?
Yep, Liz Graham, yep.
Okay, yeah, and I looked at some of her stuff and went to her website and all that, and I ended up coming up with like a goal and an action plan for the contest, mm-hmm. and she was like a similar height and similar story as me, so that's why I kind of took to her. And in the end, just kind of to get to the photos that you were talking about, I decided that I was ready to do this, and I decided to enter the contest. And as a big motivator for getting to the end goal that I wanted, I went ahead and booked the boudoir session along with asking the photographer to do my after photos for the contest. So I did them all together on the same day.
Oh, was that like a, holy, how long of a day was that?
It was actually just, I think, a few hours, like 2.5-3 hours.
That's pretty efficient for two yeah. entire different settings of photos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just did the after pictures like in a half hour.
Oh,
we did
good.
It really quick. And the other part of it was really long.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
The longer part. But yeah, booking that session and having that date set and the deposit made was a really, really helped me to know that, you know, I set this goal and I'm going to get there. I have a date. I have committed myself to this shoot, and I want to look my best.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of that, part of the reason I wanted to do the photos not only was to see how I would actually look after I set this goal and got to it, to see the outcome of it, but I also, my husband and I are actually starting to try to get pregnant, and I wanted the pictures, the lingerie pictures, for after I have the baby, so I can see, not looking at other pictures on the internet, like, yeah, these ladies had babies too, and this is what they look like, you know, like celebrities. It's like, that doesn't even seem like anyone could really get back to that body that quickly, you know,
yeah.
But, or look that good after having a baby. So I just wanted the pictures so I could see my own self at what I looked like, you know, I can get back to that as kind of a goal for me after the baby too. So part of it for my husband, the photos, and part of it for me as a motivator after the baby.
Mm-hmm. And that's speaking from experience, and I'm sure anyone listening who's done a transformation, the best motivation is your own pictures. So if mm-hmm. you've done a transformation, you have that picture of yourself.
Yeah.
It's so real because you're like, well, no matter, you know, like you said, you're going to go through pregnancy, and obviously that's going to affect your body. But
right.
It's so powerful to actually have your own picture as mm-hmm. your own goal. And none of this, like, you never have to look external from yourself ever again for, like, your little,
yes.
for your inspirational pieces that you're going to post on the wall. It's not somebody else. It's you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because no one has the same exact body as you.
No.
So you're not going to look like anyone else. So I have these pictures. That's what I actually look like. That's what I want to get back to.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually was really surprised after doing the something that really helped me look, I think, as good in my pictures. And I was surprised and didn't know how it would turn out, but was the diet and thing that Alan came up with for me. I think I lost 8 pounds just that week of doing that diet and following what he told me to do.
You mean in the final week?
Yes. I lost 8 pounds, you know, mostly water and stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I hold on to a lot of water and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, I've looked at like some of the stuff that Roberta put on the contest stuff. Like, I think she has like a contest prep mm-hmm. article and stuff like that. I looked at that and I think it was either her or someone else had commented that they mainly just noticed the difference with the water deplete and the water load and all that stuff mm-hmm. in their abs and stuff. But I really noticed it everywhere. Like, I think my arms, my legs, you could see some definition, which I don't think really came out in the photos that I submitted. That was why I was a little disappointed, because I actually did have some, like, definition of my legs that you couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, I think that week really showed a lot of definition that I didn't know was there. So I was really happy about that.
Yeah, and that's interesting that you've going through that process, you can see how much can actually change in a week when you bother to go
yes.
through one of those processes.
Yeah, absolutely. Because mm-hmm. I was kind of, when we talked to Alan originally, he was like, you have a lot of potential, you know, you look, I can see, you know, you may be placing high and stuff. And I just kind of was like, man, I don't think I'm where I need to be. And then after that week, it's surprising how much of a difference that made.
Yeah. And that's all part of, you know, and then some people are like, well, is that what you really look like? And, well, that's not the point. The point is these are all things you can do for a really fun photo shoot, like a real cool photo shoot.
Yeah.
And obviously the sort of base material that is your body, I mean, it like that final week prep stuff is water manipulation, tightening up the look that you have.
Uh-huh.
It's not like you lose 10 pounds of fat that week. What you do is you sharpen up. So you still have to be all
yes,
the way
exactly.
there. The point is someone with 30 pounds of fat to lose can't water manipulate down the 30
right.
pounds of fat. It has to be gone to begin with. And then
exactly.
you can kind of like sort of show it all off with that final
yeah.
that final
and it
push.
Also was very like eye-opening to know that I hold on to that much based on what I eat and how much water I drink. So I really need to watch that, especially when I want to look really good for an event or that sort of thing. And if, you know, my body is there, it's just I have to manipulate how I eat and stuff to look at my best.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that that's there, maybe I don't look like that perfect every day, but it's possible if, you know, I'm a little more careful.
Yeah, and it's one of those situations where until you've actively done, like, a purposeful, like, thought-through photo prep week like that,
mm-hmm.
which all fitness competitors do, by the way, and many even – like boudoir photo shoot, bikini model, whatever you want to call it. Like people,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people do that as prep for a photo shoot, regardless if it's fitness or
uh-huh.
lingerie or something like that. But that's something that once you do it once the way you did, you look back and you're like, oh wow, I hold a lot of water. Like I can get rid of up to, 7, 8, 9, 10 pounds of water in a week. That's like I know big guys who get rid of 18 to 19 pounds of water in like 3 days. So
Oh, I bet.
the water carrying capacity of everyone's body is just different. But then I know we've all had this happen to us at some point in our life, either after being sick or a hard day of drinking, and the next day you actually look nice and lean, and you're like, what's going on here? And that's because you've inadvertently dehydrated yourself just from the night before's events, and you kind of wake up and you're like, well, I feel lousy, but man, do I ever look good right now? And it's happened to all of us. Like all of us have had that happen at some point, but we weren't thinking in terms of like water manipulation tightening up. Like you don't think that way. You're just one day you're like, yeah, I'm not so bad today. And it's just an accident of what you happen to eat or happen to drink in the last 48 hours. So it happens to all of us at some point. Sometimes traveling, you eat a couple of things that cause you to just lose a bunch of water, and you're just like, no, that's not too bad. So, but here you've done it like with purpose and with intention, and you end up like seeing exactly the cause and effect of a couple of days of just a few different food choices, a bit of a food pattern, and then off you go. You get a different look. All right. So, give us your background, how you got to us. Obviously, there's a link with Alan and Jake, right?
So my husband is Jake, and he's very into not even just with the body, but self-improvement, always trying to improve himself, physically and mentally. He's into all that stuff. So he's always doing searches on the internet and that sort of thing. And he ended up coming across Adonis Index, and he loved the whole idea of it being based on measurements and the perfect measurements for your height and all that sort of thing. So he got really into it, and he was like, there's this female version of it. And so that's how I came across it, was through him. And I ended up buying it, I think last year, probably in February or March. And I actually started the first contest, but I think I just wasn't there yet. I wasn't mentally ready to commit to, losing what I needed to and putting in the time at the gym and all that. And I think a lot of it just had to do with being in school and work and overwhelmed by a lot of stuff I had going on, and I just wasn't mentally ready. But when I, like I said before, I finished school in August, and I just remember one day, Jason at work, he teaches music and stuff, and so he works in the evenings usually when kids are out of school. So I was just, at home by myself sitting there, and I started looking on Venus Index website, and like I mentioned before, I kind of started reading on Liz's stuff, and I read her story and went to her website, and I think that's where I got the idea of the action plan and all that. I can't remember exactly. It was either on the Venus Index website or on something with her, but I actually sat and thought about what my reasons were, why I wanted to do this, why it had to be now, what I wanted to get out of it and all that. And I actually came up with the why, the specific goals and the action plan. So I sat down, I wrote it all out, I typed it all out. My husband actually, when he got home, he was so excited that I did it and was, ready to make it happen, that he framed it for me and hung it right next to the bathroom door. And so it's framed, and I have it sitting in front of me. So he hung that up for me, and it was there for me to see and remember, when it got hard, why I was doing it, and all that, and what my specific goals were. So that's kind of like the contest. Sitting down and doing that, I was like, this contest is going to start. I think I'll do that. And then as I thought about it more over the next couple of days, I remembered that photographer from the bridal show, and I was like, maybe that will help me to motivate me to actually not only have the goals and everything in place, but to actually get to the end goal. So I went ahead, and those next few days, I booked that photo shoot, and that's pretty much what happened.
That's pretty much it, right? So now that's important, and that story keeps coming up, like the actual commitment. Like there's always that point where the commitment's finally been made, and I like the fact that Jake clearly understood how important that part was. Like obviously that's when he lit right up, when you're like, you like finally made, like he gets it because he's been through it. So he's like, oh, she's actually commit. She wrote it down. Like committing it to paper is like a pretty big step. And then I think that's, I like what you said where he frames it. 'Cause he's like, no, this is important. Like this is your marching orders to yourself for the next 12 weeks. And it really is just you and you. Like, you know, nobody in Indiana is going to care if you make it or not make it, but you have to care. Right? And in the
And
end,
you have to commit yourself,
Right. And in the end, if you make it, in the end, if you actually make it, then everyone's like, wow, look what you did. But along the way, it's almost like a secret the whole way. Like it's just internal. Okay, so you had a bit of an ace up your sleeve with his support. What about anybody else in your life? Did you share it with people, or did you just kind of keep it between the two of you?
When people would ask me, because they started noticing that I had lost, a little bit of weight along the way, and just to kind of back up, before I started the contest, I had already, so total, I lost 41 pounds. So I started working on losing weight last year around this time, like beginning of December of last year, and I got down like 23 pounds, and I ended up gaining some of it back over the summer, and so then when I actually started the contest, I was, I think, down like 20 pounds. So then I went through the contest and I got, you know, all the way down 41 pounds total.
Oh, do you have pictures of that?
I was talking to my best friend, Jackie, because we took pictures like when I was at my highest weight. My highest weight was 188. And I got down to 147. So back last year, we had taken pictures because we were trying to do it together and stuff. She's since moved to Arizona and stuff, and but we were trying to motivate each other. So we took pictures at her house, and she's trying, like when she gets back to Arizona, because she's here now, she's going to try to dig and try to find some of those pictures. But actually, I was so, and Jake tried to convince me to take pictures when I was at my highest weight, but I was so disgusted with myself. I was like, I don't want to see those pictures. I don't want to have those pictures, but I really wish I would have now. Now I do have some pictures from July when I was like in the 170s, like when I kind of restarted almost.
Oh
and,
yeah, we need those, the 180s and the 170s. Those are, I know like that sounds awkward, but it's
No, I
obviously going to
know.
be highly motivating for everyone. I'm excited to see the, you know, let's show off really what you did. Like, let's not show off just half of it. Let's see it all.
So I'll find the highest weight that I can find. And I actually did like side by side with an app that Jake showed me. Like, as I was losing some of the weight through the contest, I would like slice it in half and put like my highest weight that I had, a picture of like the back, and then a picture of the back at where I was at that current time. And so we would just sit there and just look at it and go, oh my God, I can't believe I ever looked like that. And I can't believe I look like this now. So it was like, and the other big thing that I'll mention that I don't know, it may help some other people if they have a supportive spouse or loved one. I actually, and I've heard other people say this, they get hung up on the weight number, like the scale number. And so actually through the first 2 months of the contest, I didn't look at the scale or my measurements. Jake did all that for me. Because I would always get so frustrated when I would work so hard 1 week, and then I would get on the scale, and because of water, I know logically it wasn't just the fat, you know, it was water, it was, you know, what, where I was in my cycle and all that stuff, but, you know, looking at the scale and seeing that it didn't move or it barely moved, it would get me every time.
Okay, hang on, back up, back up. This is new. I've never heard this one. So he looked at the scale, but your eyes never saw. And he did your tape measurements, but you never got to see what the number was.
Right.
And he recorded it, and it's just recorded somewhere on a file that you can't access.
Yes.
That is clever. I've never even heard of that. That's a great idea.
It would totally mentally screw me every time. Like, I don't care. Like, I would be so pumped, like I would lose. And it makes total logical sense. You lose 5 pounds 1 week, you're not going to lose 5 pounds the next week. you know, it's just not probably going to happen unless you're on Biggest Loser and you have like tons and tons of weight to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. It would just screw me every time. I would be really pumped up about losing 4 or 3 or whatever, and then the next week nothing, or I would gain a couple ounces, or and no matter how much I logically thought about it, and Jake would tell me, he's like, you know, honey, it's weight, it's water, it's this, it's you ate this last night, it's affecting it, you know, and but it didn't matter. It would mentally get me every time.
Now
yeah.
I'm so glad you brought this up. Now hold that thought and hold your next thought,
okay?
Because I want to kind of reinforce this. So for you that's listening right now, this weight loss specifically is never a linear path. It's never every week you lose exactly another 3/4 of a pound. And it doesn't matter if you've calculated your numbers perfectly and theoretically the system should have lost a pound and then another pound. And it just mm-hmm. doesn't happen that way. It, for all of those reasons, Michelle just mentioned, it could be, you know, you just held water, because your cycle's going up and down. Just the food you happen to eat the day before you weighed yourself could mm-hmm. just be holding a bit of water based on salt, whatever it is. But, and even your measurements, they kind of go up, even though you're headed the same direction, you're headed the right direction mm-hmm. at any given moment, day to day, it may not feel like, or you may not get the measurement you want. And the trick there is you, day to day, you're putting in what seems like consistent effort every day, but you're not getting consistent feedback. And so your technique is to just not even let yourself be sidelined by inconsistent feedback that is disconnected with
right.
consistent effort. It's like, wait a minute, I've put in the same effort this week that I did last week. How come the scale didn't reward me? How come the measuring tape didn't mm-hmm. reward me? And then you could start feeling, and that's, you could sabotage yourself thinking, well, then yep. my weekly effort's pointless because there's nothing here to show for it. And so
mm-hmm.
now some people fight through that, and some people, like what you did, is like, you know, it's smarter to not even see it and just continue believing in the effort. And so that's mm-hmm. a huge disconnect that I don't think anyone gets is coming, or they don't know that this is going to happen, is that you don't mm-hmm. lose weight in a nice straight line, like every week is one
right.
pound less. It's not like that. And unless you're mentally tough enough to put in a solid effort this week and lose a pound, and put in a solid effort next week and you actually gain a pound on the scale, that'll drive
mm-hmm.
you nuts if you don't realize it might just be water. And me too, like everybody, me, Brad, everybody still be like, oh, yeah, I got to remind myself that it's not linear. It's not linear.
Yeah. mm-hmm.
But that's a huge mental challenge. So I guess so when did you finally get to see numbers?
We talked about it over the course of the contest, and eventually, right, I think it was the 2-month mark. I was like, you know, I think at this point I need to see where I am so that I can either kick it up or, well, basically that. Do I need to kick it up? Am I where I need to be
mm-hmm.
to make a big change in the end of the contest? So I think it was around the 8 weeks, I think he showed me everything.
Interesting. And so what do you remember the change in the feeling when you saw it?
Gosh, I think my weight was like it was 162 maybe, somewhere around there. I can't remember exactly, but I remember being surprised and happy with where I was. I still, I think, got hung up on the weight and was like, really? I've only lost that much? Like,
mm-hmm.
it must have been like 160 or one, like barely in the 150s or something. But, I wish I could remember.
Well, either way, it was a change.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and it was enough that you're like, oh, okay, so I guess.
Yeah, and the good thing, too, at that point was that I had started noticing in my clothes, and I had also started noticing visually, like seeing lines that I hadn't ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, and I'll point this out, too, is that I bought their original program and I went through that twice. And what I actually did, I went through it once before the contest.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started it again right before the contest started. So I was, I think maybe like a quarter or halfway through the original Venus. And then I did final phase.
Oh, okay.
For the rest of the contest. And I actually didn't do 3 days a week through the contest. The first 3 weeks I did 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
the 6 weeks in between, I did 5 days a week. In the last 3 weeks, I did 4 days a week.
And how did
so I kind of like, I'm did, sorry, I messed that up. I did five at the first 3 weeks, four in the middle, and then five at the last 3 weeks because I wanted to start strong and finish strong.
Okay, and then how did that volume feel okay? Was there any extra cardio or just the five and four? And
I did do cardio in there too. I did it where I could fit it in. Mm-hmm. On my action plan, my goal was to do at least 90 minutes of cardio per week.
Okay.
And I think I hit that pretty consistently.
And then five Venus workouts a week felt like what, enough? Just like pushing the limits of what you can handle, like totally manageable?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely doable. Yeah, it definitely was. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a little bit harder the last probably week, because especially with the cardio, mm-hmm. because of the diet I was doing. And the last week, I think I worked out, let's see, Wednesday through Tuesday. I think I did 7 days in a row of mm-hmm. Venus. Just to maximize everything. And then I did cardio on most of those days also, 40 minutes on the Stairmaster. So at that point, I was getting a little exhausted. But the five is definitely doable, and then throwing in cardio where you can fit it in your schedule. I thought it was definitely manageable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's always good to hear is what people have managed to get up to and what it, you know, where the limit was. And it sounds like that final week was... You know, you probably couldn't have pushed that final week's pattern much longer than a week.
Right, yeah. And what I was going to say, too, is that I felt like the original Venus, I feel like it really got me where I needed to be weight-wise before I started final phase, and I feel like final phase really toned me. Mm. And it might have just been where I was in my weight when I started final phase. Like, I got most of the weight off, so that's when I noticed the definition. Mm-hmm. That may have been what it was, but it just seemed like that was more toning for my body, but I don't know.
Yeah, as long as it works, that's all that really matters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, well, I guess we've talked about the training. Talk us through your sort of diet philosophy. Did you just follow the calculator? Like, would you do as far as that whole thing?
I followed the calculator pretty well. There were times when it told me to take more calories, and I didn't necessarily increase it every time. Mm-hmm. Just because I felt like maybe I went over a couple days or whatever. But for the most part, I don't think I went over much on the day-to-day stuff. Now, sometimes when I did the eat-up days, I did go over a little bit. Mm-hmm. And At first, I started trying to make it up, and like, if I went over my weekly calories, like the next week, I'd try to make up for it. And then I was like, I can't keep this up. Like, if I went over 100 for the week, like, I just have to be okay with that and move on. Because mm-hmm. trying to make it up just messes me up mentally. So I was pretty good at staying at I kind of looked at it as the weekly bank of calories versus the day to day. But I did try to stick to the day to day and do the eat up days.
Yeah. And then, best scenario is, or the probably the, like you said, like you try to just win the week and try to get close to the week.
Yeah, win the week.
And I totally agree with you on the, you just can't make up last week, next week. That's the whole point of thinking weekly, is to make up one day to the next day. Then if you're trying to make up week to week, then you're trying to make up month to month. It's just, you can't. You have to cut it off at some point.
It's too overwhelming, yeah.
So that's what the thinking weekly means. It's like, once the week's over, that week's done. And next week is next week. And it doesn't matter if last week was the best week of your life or if last week was the worst dieting week you've ever had and you've actually went over mm-hmm. every – you don't try to fix last week with it. It's over. And that's it. I mean, the whole point of the week interval is that you don't carry over your wins or losses from that week. You just start mm-hmm. on the next week. So – I don't think that's a subtle point. That's an important point for people listening to understand is – that's it. Like, that week's done. Doesn't matter if you blew mm-hmm. it by 1,000 calories. You don't try to fix it this week. You get back on track. Otherwise, you're constantly in adjust, fix, feel lousy, punish, guilt. Like, all this other junk. Like, you can't mm-hmm. have it. Like, that week has to, it's gone.
Right. And I feel like, for me, the diet is the hardest part. And that's probably true for a lot of people. But I feel like, for me, it's a constant struggle even now, just because I don't know. I feel like where I live, there's just not much to do, especially when the weather's bad. And that's just like entertainment. It's like, what are we going to do? Well, there's nothing to do around here. Let's go to dinner. Or, you know, and it's so hard. It's like a constant struggle. And it's always like there for entertainment. I mean, we went to watch the Colts game last night at a party, and it was like food everywhere.
Yeah.
Food, snacks, snacky foods. And you just, it's just a constant struggle. It's just so much part of our culture, it feels like, that it's hard to just say no. But
yeah, I wrote a blog post.
For me, the hardest part.
I wrote a blog post about that. I asked people, what is it that people, I asked everybody reading, what is it that people do socially that doesn't require eating or doesn't involve eating? Like, what's a social thing that's not involving food? And we could come up with like two things, like barely.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, one of, ironically, one of the only things people do that, I don't know if it's even social, but it's just something you do with somebody else for a few hours, is work out. You know, if you even have a workout partner, or at least if you know somebody that works out with you, or you just chat with people at the gym, that's one event where you plan it and go and do it, and it has nothing to do with food. But that's almost like not even... that's not even fair for that list, because that's an exception, right? Like clearly you're going to the gym to do. So then I was like, okay, so besides working out, what is it that people do socially that doesn't involve food? And people would come up with stuff like, oh, well, what about recreational sports? What if you play in a touch football league or volleyball or something? Like, yeah, but almost every one of those games ends at a pub where everyone's out eating food afterwards.
Yeah,
like in our city, in our city, all of the summer leagues, like touch football, ultimate frisbee, volleyball, all of the pubs downtown and all the bars do a free pitcher of beer and free plate of nachos for anyone on a sports team, a recreational team.
God.
I mean, that's why those sports are called beer league, because afterwards everyone goes out for beer.
Yeah.
And you get it for free. So if you just went out and played like in a, you know, recreational soccer league for an hour and you got a good run on, then you go in and eat nachos for free. So
then you're eating even way more than you even purpose. Well,
yeah, but then the event, you can't honestly say that event has nothing to do with food,
because
the whole thing culminates
food,
with the celebration of food. And every one of those recreational leagues I've ever played in, almost every single game ends with the whole team going out for food. So so even that I can't say is, you know, and so we couldn't come up with anything. Nobody came up with anything that anyone does socially that's not food. So I don't think it's just where you live. I think that's just what it is. It's just human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you're on the clock getting paid to do something that doesn't require food, food sort of just shows up everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's just, I mean, it shows up at business meetings. It shows up at, like, it's just what people do together. Like, I challenged people to come up with a list of 10 things. We got, like, one. And it wasn't even that good. So yeah, I guess it's like, I guess I'm just trying to say that struggle's there for everyone all the time. I mean, I struggle, everybody struggles with it. It's just, it's that, then it just comes down to pre-planning, right? It's like, well, I know I'm going to a Super Bowl party. I know there's going to be a lot of food. I should try my hardest to keep it lean, if not fast, before it, because there's no stopping once you start.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you fast? I don't know. That's a good question.
Oh yeah, I did. Most of that I think I did in the beginning. But yeah, I would try to do that at least 12 hours, like I read about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would try to extend it as far as I could. I did that more at the beginning, and then I kind of cut it out a little bit. I don't know if it was just because I get headaches and stuff anyway, so when I don't eat, I think that kind of makes it worse. But it wasn't that bad. And mainly I would, in the morning, I mean, I just not a real big breakfast eater anyway. Mm. So it wasn't that hard. But the later it got, the more difficult it got, I guess.
Yeah, the further into the
contest. So, yeah, I did do some fasting. Mm. But I didn't do it throughout the whole contest.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess it's a question I normally ask, any major speed bump or roadblock in the way, did you get sick or anything, or was it more or less just the daily grind of it all the way through?
I was sick 1 week. So there was like 1 week towards the end where I was, which kind of got me a little bit. I wasn't able to work out for like a, I think it was like a week. I had some stomach issues and stuff, and it kind of messed with me mentally. But I ended up getting back on track and, you know, finishing and everything. But, no, I don't, just the constant struggle with the eating. That was my main speed bump, I guess.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're getting on to the end here. What's your advice to, anybody listening who's where you were 40 pounds ago?
Mm-hmm.
And what's, they're going to want to know what you have to say.
Well, I have a couple of thoughts. One is just like join a contest, do the contest. It's a good motivator. But even more than that is sitting down like I did and thinking about why you want to do it and put it in writing and maybe post it like we did somewhere where you can see it. It just makes it more real and it makes you feel more accountable. And like I said, too, the booking the photo shoot was a big motivator for me. And then the other thing, obviously, was finding a Venus to inspire you, like I kind of did with Wes. That's kind of what got the ball rolling for me. But one last thought is just the not looking at the scale thing. That was a big help for me. And I don't know if, you know, other people may or may not have that supportive person that will do that for them, but that was a big help for me, was not seeing the scale and the measurements for a good part of the contest until it was getting towards the end. You know, it was crunch time. I kind of needed to know where I was. But that was, I think, huge for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
you have somewhere like that.
Not looking at the scale allows you to focus on the day-to-day and not, mm-hmm. If you can win the days and the weeks, the overall transformation takes care of itself. So there almost, yeah. It's almost like there's not, you almost don't need to know that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's pretty good.
Do you
have anything else?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, how about this? Do you have any questions for me while we're doing this?
I don't think. I can't think of anything.
Okay. Figured I'd ask. All right, well, that was great. So congrats on the win. And for Michelle Hahn, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index podcast.